Samuel chapter 2, verse 35, which is our theme for this year. That's where it came from, where it comes from. And there you'll find these words. If you have it, say amen. 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 Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest. Somebody say faithful. Who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. Go over to the next chapter, same book, same first edition of Samuel. Let's flip over to chapter 3. Read with me. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation, and it came to pass at that time, while Eli was laying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called for me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived, he finally figured out, that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came, this time, the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Run over to Galatians 6:9, and then I'll let you sit down. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Amen, 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 amen. Grab a neighbor and look him in the eye. Grab him by the hand, shake the hand, and ask him a question. On today, God wants to know, can you hear me now? Amen, amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love you. We honor you. We praise you. We lift up your holy name. Lord, we just thank you for the occasion in which we've gathered here today, in addition to you and worshiping you, but to honor these vessels that you sent down to do your work. God, we say thank you. Now, Lord, we thank you for everything that's transpired thus far. We thank you for the singing. We thank you for the tributes. We thank you for the love and honor that has been shown. Lord, touch everybody within the sound of my voice. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, let me decrease so that you may increase. And Lord, we want you to have all the glory for it belongs to you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and thank you for the glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and count it done. And the church said amen. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. Can you hear me now? Amen. We are all familiar from a few years ago when Verizon started the campaign of "Can you hear me now?" Amen. And I guess he's now the Sprint guy, but he used to be the Verizon spokesperson. And he would always run around on the commercials to make fun of the other people by saying, "Can you hear me now?" And so, and it was so catchy because any and everybody who has ever had a cell phone or still has one, whether you have a smartphone or a flip phone. Some of my old school people, we still got flip phones, amen? Amen. I shouldn't say I don't have one, but some people do, and that's okay. But we've all been in situations to where we've had to move around and say, can you hear me now? That's why the slogan was so catchy. Why? Because everybody could relate to the fact that at some point in time throughout the course of your day, you were going to have to repeat, can you hear me now? Everybody has done that. It represented the strength of their signal and their coverage. That's what it represented, okay? The better the signal, the better the strength, the better the signal. And that would decrease how many times you had to ask the person on the phone, can you hear me now? When our parents are talking to us and they're speaking to us, and when you hear something that you really don't want to hear, especially if you're on the phone, the first thing you say is, huh? Everybody does that. If you tell me something that I'm not prepared to receive, I might act like I don't hear you. Some of us have even used the can't hear me now, can you hear me now? And we knew we could hear everything that they've said. Amen. You ever acted like you couldn't hear? But you really know you could. But because the message that was coming across, we act like we got static and all type of bad connection, but we know we have full bars. But we want to know, God wants to know, can we hear him now? And so we ask the question, the backdrop here is that when we talk about the theme, and I'm going to address this is about a two-part sermon, and y'all just bear with me, and don't nobody get mad at me, amen, but listen to me. You know, I kind of set it up, you know, so I don't act like y'all can't hear me and act like you got static in the background because of the message, amen? Amen. Can you hear me now? Amen. So then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. This is God talking to the house of Eli, amen? Eli was all right. Now, he was a little slow. He had kind of lost some of his spiritual ability, but his sons were off the hook, amen? They were living any type of life. They were not believers. They were conducting themselves in a way that was not pleasing to God. The issue that God had taken with Eli is that he didn't address his sons, amen? Amen. He didn't address his sons. He never dealt with that. So God came to him and said, so you're just going to start honoring your sons before you honor me. You're going to let them live any old kind of way. They're causing the people to struggle. And you're going to just let them do things that are disgraceful and distasteful to me. And this is the word that the Lord had told Eli. And so Eli acted like he didn't know what was going on. Like he really couldn't hear what was going on. Finally, he gave a little soft rebuke and said, you know, he told his son, one of them was named Phinehas. He said, I'm not really pleased with how you're living. And he didn't have no fire and vigor to it, because the Bible says after he addressed them about it, they just kept doing whatever they wanted to do. The Bible also says that the Lord was tired of dealing with them. He was ready to take them out. That's what the Bible said. I didn't write it. But he told Eli that I'm going to raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. Christian Charity, we've been blessed with a faithful priest, amen, who follows God and who is doing what is according to in the heart and mind of God. Amen? Amen. And it might not always feel good when you get a word from the pastor or you get a rebuke from the pastor, but we have to understand that God said, I will raise up for myself a priest, a faithful priest. Amen? So you have to watch out when the Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Because the Lord said, I called him up for me. And what makes him faithful is that he's doing what's according to the heart and mind of the Lord. And then the Bible says that I will build for him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. Now, who y'all think the Lord is talking about right here in this scripture? He's talking about Samuel to Eli. Eli was the head priest of Shiloh. He was the head man. For over 40, 50 years, he judged this area, and he was held to high esteem, but he had lost his vigor. and he kind of let things start to slide, and he kind of wasn't on it like he used to be. But the problem is that the Lord is letting the people know. He's letting Eli know that I'm going to call up for myself a faithful priest. Christian Charity, we have a faithful priest who's doing things according to the mind and heart of Jesus Christ. And what God had promised Samuel is that if you do this, you're going to walk before my anointed forever. Samuel was the chief advisor to Saul. Nobody was able to speak into Saul and to strengthen him but Samuel. So I'm going to go into the first point, and it is when God is silent. When God is silent. 1 Samuel 3:1 says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation." There was no revelation in those days because the people didn't want to hear it. The people did not want to receive the word that was coming from the Lord. So the Lord had become silent, and there was nothing going on, and they couldn't hear God, so God had become silent. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." So we have to understand that the Lord was tired of talking to people who refused to listen. He was tired of saying the same things over and over, so the Lord went silent. The thing is, and let's bring this down to our time now, God isn't silent, but are we in a position spiritually in which we can hear God speaking to us? If God is speaking and we can't hear him, or if God is not speaking, the result is the same. It's all silence. Amen? But without revelation, we cast off restraint. We don't have anything to hold us accountable. God speaks to us mostly directly through his word. Amen. And if we're not pulling it from the word, if we're not getting any revelation, then we really won't have a lot of restraint. When we're not in consistent communication with God, nothing will really make sense from a spiritual standpoint. Let me help you. A lot of times, we're operating in our flesh, even though we might be doing things that are good. What are you talking about? Listen, when you operate in your flesh, that's anything that you're doing independent of God. Amen? It doesn't mean necessarily that that's a direct sin, but if I do anything that God did not command me to do, or the Spirit did not command me to do, I'm operating in my flesh, even if it's a good act. Amen? Walk with me. So anytime I'm doing something free of the Spirit, free of God, I'm not operating in the Spirit. There is no in-between. Either you're in the Spirit or you're in the flesh. But we operate like that. And so let me tell you something. When you're operating in the Spirit, nothing will go against that you do will go against God's word. Y'all hear me? When you're operating in the Spirit and you're hearing from God, no activity that you partake in will go against the word of God. Never. Amen. If you're growing in the word, if we are growing in the word, submission and obedience will come naturally. It will come because we're growing in the word. You will not be in the presence of God for real and function the same way you did before you encountered God. It's impossible, because to say so means that we're minimizing the power of God. So our activity on the outer is a direct reflection of our relationship with God on the inner. What are you saying? Church, if we only come in one or two Sundays a month, that's a problem. Amen? Don't get mad at me. Because even if you're not a member here, it applies to wherever you go to church. If your pastor can only count on you one or two Sundays a month, that's a problem. We're not hurting the pastor. That's between you and your relationship with the Lord if you're not coming and feeding your soul. If we miss as many church services as we, if we miss as many days at work as we miss church services, we all be on unemployment. I know people that have retired 15, 20 years and ain't missed a day. And as soon as we get a thunderstorm warning, it's a little wet outside. Rain don't stop us from doing nothing else, but a thunderstorm will have us sleeping in drinking coffee. It represents our relationship with God. God quit speaking because they didn't have an appetite to hear what he had to say. When you come in and you hunger for God and you hunger for his spirit, he's going to feed you. He's going to overfill your cup. The Bible says, him that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. We have to have a zeal to want to be closer to God. Not just come in here and be religified. You got to want to be here. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Well, God is silent. We can't hear him, whatever the case may be. We wonder why we're dealing with the same issues day in and day out. Nothing changes. My generation, everybody wants to move to Texas or Vegas or Atlanta or Houston or Dallas. Everybody wants to move. Write this down. Your geographical location isn't the problem. It's your spiritual maturation that is the issue. Okay? If I go to Dallas and I'm taking the same mess from Kansas City to Dallas, I'm going to be just as not successful there as I am here. The problem is not where you at. The problem is who you communicating with. The problem is who you supping with. The problem is, are you growing your relationship with the Lord? We have this thing. I'm not even going to get ahead of myself. Let me go to the next one. Y'all walk with me. My next point. When God speaks. So we got our first point. Okay. We got that, which is when God is silent. But what about when he starts speaking? So it says, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call, lie down again. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again Samuel. So the Lord is now speaking. They're in the Holy of Holies, and they're in there, and they're laying down, and it's about bedtime, and Eli's losing his sight, and it's time to go to bed. So I want you to understand that the backdrop here is Samuel and Eli, it's bedtime. They sleeping. And Eli's bed is in the direction of the Ark of the Covenant. So he's confusing God's voice with Eli's voice. Who is Eli to Samuel? I forgot to tell you that. Eli is like Samuel's father in the ministry. He trained him. He brought him up. Because Eli had sons, but his sons was a little ratchet, a little trifling. You understand what I'm saying? They really weren't any good. So Eli and Samuel was the first child from the womb of Hannah. Hannah was barren. And Hannah was mad and sad because she was getting harassed because she couldn't have kids. So the Lord gave her Samuel. Amen? Am I right about it? So what happened is that Samuel was raised from birth. After he got weaned off the bottle, he went to go live with Eli. And so, let me tell you, it was cute when I read in the Bible that it said every time that Hannah would go visit Eli and Samuel, he would bring him a little robe. You ever see on Facebook little kids be around acting like they're preaching? Well, she was already helping groom him for his call, because every year she would bring him a little prophet robe. Every year she'd bring him one because he was in training from birth. A lot of people believe that Samuel was about 12 or 13 during the time of this passage. So are there times in your life where you think you hear God, but then you're not sure? Now, I'm not talking to the 12 or 13-year-olds on this one. I'm talking to everybody in here. I don't care how old you are. Nobody is 100% perfectionist professional when it comes to hearing the voice of God. I'm going to ask you again, is there anybody in here that struggles sometime knowing whether that's God or not? Amen. I thank you for the two honest people in the house today. So listen, what I want everybody to understand is that one thing that can help us not struggle as much, know the voice of God, is by studying his word and making sure that we're growing and strengthening our relationship with him. If you haven't cracked your Bible since last Sunday, chances are you might not understand when God is talking to you. If the first time you pray is when Pastor McCormick prayed, chances are you might not hear the voice of God. But the Bible says that my sheep, shall know my voice. But the Bible is so perfect because it lets you know that Samuel had not yet received God. It lets you know, don't think that he knew me and he didn't understand me, but he was not yet saved, even though he was being trained. See, salvation is intensely personal. It don't matter who your daddy is. I love my mom and dad. They've been faithful since the day I've been born to the Lord, but their salvation does not flow and count for my salvation. Amen. I don't care how much I've been watching them and learning from them. Just because they saved does not guarantee me a seat in heaven. So the first time he got up and he came. The reason why is because he was the son in the ministry to Eli. And he said he thought Eli was calling him because Eli was old and he was pretty much blind. So he thought, let me get up and get dressed and go see what Eli want. Eli said, man, I'm asleep. Leave me alone. Go back to bed. Go lay down. I didn't call you. So he went back and he laid down again. And the Lord called him yet again, said, Samuel. He gets up and he goes back and say, hey, Eli, he said, son, I didn't call you. It was not me. Go lay down. Now, I can tell you that the reason why you know Eli was kind of slacking on being the head priest, Eli, as the head priest, should have been able to discern what was going on. He thought Samuel was tripping, okay? He thought Samuel was just hearing things. He was just trying to sleep. And Samuel was really hearing somebody call his name. That's how clear it was, because he was in the presence of God. And so it said in verse 10, now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Now, when God calls your name twice, that's serious, okay? Because he did it to Abraham when he was getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. He said, Abraham, Abraham. And then he did it again to Moses. When he said, Moses, Moses, now he's doing it to Samuel. So the Lord is saying, Samuel, Samuel, can you hear me now? Are you listening to me? Because you keep doing the same thing over and over. You get up, that don't work. You go back down. Sometimes we are in little mazes, like mice in mazes, doing the same thing over and over, praying for God to do something, to make something happen, but we just sitting here, going back, going through the motions. Y'all know the definition of insanity. It's doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. We're praying to God, but we're not seeing any change. I'm going to church on Sunday, but I'm not seeing nothing happen. I'm going to church on Tuesday, but I'm not seeing nothing happen. It's your relationship with God that will provoke the change that you're looking for. When God speaks, we have to sit still and listen to him. And we have to be okay with whatever word God has for us. The problem with some of us is that we don't want to hear the word that God has for us. A lot of times we hunting and pecking through the word, trying to find what applies to our situation. The Bible says that we shouldn't forsake fellowship with the saints, but we don't want to hear that when it comes time to talk about coming to church for this and that, because if we go to church too many times, we get to grumbling and mumbling. But we want God to be faithful all the time. If our faithfulness and God's faithfulness was about the same, we'd all be in trouble. If God was as faithful to us as we were to him, we'd be in trouble. But Eli, after he finally caught on, said, hey, if you hear him again, don't move. Don't get up. You just need to say, Lord, this is your servant. Speak. I can hear you. Do you know it's a blessing to be able to hear from God? Do you know it's a privilege and an honor to be able to hear God's voice? Do you understand that you don't have to be perfect? Do you understand that it takes time to understand and be able to recognize that God is talking to you? But when you do, you have to sit there and listen and wait on God. Some of the problem is we right there and God is speaking, but we don't want to hear what he has to say. If you belong to a church, listen, if you belong to a church, it is your obligation to do whatever it takes to do to bring the vision of God into fruition. Amen? Amen. Okay? And so if we're not doing that like we know we should, then we are operating in our flesh. Okay? The Spirit is not going to have us shucking and jiving on helping the man of God bring the vision into fruition. The vision comes through the man of God, but it comes from God. So if you're hindering the vision, then you are in direct defiance of God the Father. Okay? Don't get quiet on me now. Walk with me. Because we all got some stuff we need to work on around here. Amen? And I don't care what church you go to, if you visit it or not, if you're a perfect Christian, let me see your hand. Okay? Because it whooped me up when I got it. The Lord said, you need to turn that TV off and get in that word a little bit more. There's always things that we can work on to help bring the vision into fruition. And if you're not doing what you need to be doing, I don't need to see your hand. That's a personal inventory question between you and God. But I assure you that the Spirit is saying it's time to get it together. Can you hear me now? I'm moving to the final point. My final point is when God supplies. When God supplies. So we've talked about when God is silent. And we talked about when God speaks. And now we're going to talk about when God supplies. And we're going to get ready to head downstairs. God will always supply our needs. Amen? Amen. Let me tell you where we mess up. Y'all got to write this down, put it in your phone, do whatever you need to do. A lot of us, I'm going to ask it this way. If you're a farmer and you know you plant corn, that's what you plant. That's what you sow. Are you going to go outside looking for watermelons? Are you? You're not, are you? Because I plant corn. So if I go out there and see watermelons, that's a problem. If you don't plant anything, you haven't planted or sowed a seed all season long. But how far be it from us to go outside expecting a harvest? You know where I'm going with this. Okay. Okay. So listen. A lot of us, most of us, all of us at some point in time are sowing fleshly seeds expecting a spiritual harvest. You can't do that. That's not how it works. You can't plant a seed of shacking up and living any old kind of way and then expect God to always bring you into holy matrimonial bliss if you're living like the world expects you to live. You can't do that. I got customers and clients all the time, and they want me to do all this leg work and get them this and get them that. And then I say, well, hold on, wait a minute. You know, you're talking to somebody else? Well, let me tell you. I want your business. I want to help you. But you can't have me do all the legwork, and then at the end when it's time to close, you hop over here with this other client. No, we can't do that. But that's how we treat God. We out here doing whatever we want to do, living however we want to live. We're not being faithful. We're not being good stewards. And then as soon as trouble hits, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I need a miracle. I got a blessing with my name on it. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. The count of a thousand hills of my God. We know all them scriptures. We know all those. The Lord's going to raise up a standard against my enemies. The enemies are going to come in and stumble when they try to eat up my flesh. We know all those. But do we know study to show thyself approved? Do we know meditate in the word both day and night so I can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water? We planting worldly seeds. And then we want God to bless us with a harvest. If you blessing and serving the world, let the world bless you. But we can't go around here serving the world and living like the world and then waiting in line for a blessing with our name on it. I'm going to church. I got a blessing with my name on it today. Where were you Monday through Friday? Some of us got 103.3 relationships. Monday through Saturday, I'm with the world, I'm R. Kelly and everybody else. But then on Sunday, it's blessed assurance. Y'all know, y'all, they still do that, don't they? Don't they do? On Sunday, you can get you a good little Paul Morton or something on there, but as soon as midnight hit, or it ain't even midnight, 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon, they right back to boogity boogity. It's funny, and I laughed when the Lord gave it to me until I said, That's some of us. That's some of us. We ready to roll. We on fire, full of the Holy Ghost on Sunday at 8 o'clock. But Sunday when we leave the church house, all the way till Saturday, are we doing what God loves? Are we doing the things to bring the vision into fruition? Are we being faithful to God? Are we supporting the man of God? Can the man of God go home and just pray for us and encourage us and just battle for us in the spirit, and then he got to come in and pray for a way to talk to us so we all don't get offended? The Bible say that God chastised he loved. That rebuke is a proof of love. The man of God should be able to come in. Your pastor should be able to come in and tell you what God loves, and we should be able to hug and love each other right after. Amen. Pastors nowadays can't tell nobody nothing. Everybody's temperamental and easily offended. They can't tell us nothing. That's why people hopping all going from church to church, because can't nobody tell you nothing without you getting mad. There are no perfect churches. There are no perfect pastors. And the Bible calls for rebuke. So if you get corrected, say thank you, Lord, and keep moving. Because if he's correcting you, that means he loves you. When it comes time to marry you, you want a faithful man of God. When it comes time to bury you, you want a faithful man of God. Some people, they church hop so much, if they die, who gonna bury you? But we on fertile ground here. And we are doing great things through the gospel by way of Christian Charity Church. But we have to be on one accord. There's one pastor. And there's one vision. And you can't always bring a suggestion and say, Pastor, I think we should do this. Okay, Pastor, I pray about it. No, that's not what. And the pastor should be able to say, we're not going to do that right now. And he should still be able to see you next Sunday. Amen. Or Tuesday. Don't get mad and then we don't see you for 6 weeks. Don't care what church you go to. I'm not talking just Christian Charity. Everybody here don't go to Christian Charity. But if it applies, go ahead and put the shoe on. Put the shoe on, okay? But we are of one body. And whoever, wherever you fellowship with, that pastor should be able to speak into your life, and you should be able to take it and reap that seed. But you can't nobody correct you, so you reaping a seed. The Bible says those who refuse correction are blockheads. I'm telling you, it's in Proverbs. Look it up. If you refuse correction, you are as a blockhead. Everything bounces off a blockhead. Everything. Square, you know, square bob, sponge pan, everything bounces off because his head's in the shape of a block. Six, seven, eight, and we're going to close. We're going to close, Joe. We're about to close. Galatians 6, 7 through 8 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You don't have to get to heaven for that to be your first experience of everlasting life. Okay? When you operate in the Spirit, you're already experiencing the reward that God has for those that are faithful. Because when you're operating in the Spirit, you're in the presence of God. That's why Eli told Samuel, just sit still and say, your servant can hear you. Speak, Lord. We have to be obedient to the voice of God. And anything that goes against the man of God or the vision God has given him is not of the Spirit. So, the Lord had a word. And this is where we're going to connect it up and go home. Go downstairs. The Lord had a word for Samuel. And he told him, you need to tell that I got Israel, I got a word for them. And it's going to make everybody who hears it, the ears are going to tingle. And also let Eli know that I'm coming for his household. And that his sons are going to die on the same day. And every man underneath his lineage is going to be cursed. Could you imagine having to go tell your spiritual father, Your somebody who raised you, somebody who trained you? He gave him a word that he had to go tell Eli that this was going to happen. The word you get from God, The word you get from the word, the word you get from your pastor is not going to always be what you want to hear. But do you know what Eli told Samuel? Eli told Samuel that don't you hold nothing back, because Samuel got scared because he didn't want to tell his spiritual father what thus says the Lord. So what I'm trying to say is that when the Lord gives the man of God a word, it's not easy to always deliver it, because we sometimes can be like stubborn blockheads. We sometimes sitting there like we know it all. We sometimes sitting there won't clap and say hallelujah. We sometimes get mad and won't come back for 3 or 4 weeks. We sometimes don't want to hear what thus says the Lord. But the Bible says that he that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So what happens is that Eli told him, don't hold nothing back. Tell me everything that God has told you to tell me, because if you don't, you're going to be worse off than whatever is going on in the prophecy. This is Samuel's first prophecy. So when the God we serve gives the man of God a word to give to us, he don't have any choice but to give us the word. And far be it from us to decline the word of God from the man of God. Far be it from us to act like we know more than who God has appointed over our soul. Far be it from us to act like we know more than everybody else. Far be it from us to act like we know the word and we ain't been in the word in months. Far be it from thank you.